This morning's scripture reading will be Psalms chapter 16. Psalms chapter 16. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion in my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with the joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. This is the word of the Lord.
One, two, three, four, five, six. One, two, three, four, five, six. Is it coming? Oh, okay, here we go. Do I need to start over? Did you catch that in the back row? You all got it, didn't you? Yeah, good. Don't start over. Somebody said, no, please don't start over. But girls, thank you. And pass on to Drew. Thank you as well. About a year and a half ago or so, I had a little talk with Jerry, and Jerry and I sat down with the Lord and decided that Jerry's walk wasn't all that good for the Lord, and that some things needed to change. And and maybe you're going to relate over the next few weeks as we look at the book of Ephesians. But maybe you were like me, and I'm still struggling with this. This is a journey, and I'm asking you to take this journey with me, of catching a little bit of the fire of Jesus in our lives, the reality that He's with us day by day, the joy of the Lord. The reason I had Millie read that from Psalm 16, if you're still there, I'll just highlight a couple things in it and tell you what I see. When you start reading about David in the Psalms, he uses a couple terms over and over that you see him. It's not usually at the beginning of his Psalms, because a lot of time at the beginning of his Psalms, he's lamenting, he's in trouble, he's got a heartache. And nobody had more heartaches, I think, than David. The war in his family paled the war that his nations were often in. He could go to battle on the battlefield, but his family was the wreck. And he lived out his life with that family in a wreck. And yet, as you read his Psalms, they end like they do here in Psalm 16. Verse 11, you will make known to me the path of life. In other words, you're going to guide me through all the terrible circumstances, good and bad. The Lord is going to guide me. But here's a continual theme in David's life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There's two words that David uses over and over, and it's the joy that he has in the presence of God and the pleasures or delight he has in God. And so, getting back to my own life, about a year and a half ago, I said, you know, where's the joy of the Lord? Where's the joy in His presence? I want to play on these two words a little bit, and I probably will over the next weeks. But there are the presence of the Lord, and that's spelled with a T. And there is the presence of the Lord, and that's spelled with a C. And what I found in my own life was that I have been enjoying and thankful for the presence of God in my life, and that's spelled with a T. Those great things that He gives us, our salvation, our family, the body of Christ family, the air we breathe and the water we drink, the food we eat, the country we live in, all at the hand of a merciful and loving God. And we enjoy those things, and I enjoy those things. And I'm sure you enjoy those things. One day I got to thinking of a little illustration. In our family, my wife Patty is the gift-giving grandma. Now when our children started having children, and you start enjoying the blessings of grandchildren. When they would come to our house, many times, often times, this is what they heard. go sit on the couch and close your eyes. Oh, you want to talk about sweet words for a grandchild. Go sit on the couch and close your eyes. Because something's coming. Grandma has been shopping. Grandma has been to town. Now, it might be your birthday. It could be Christmas. Or it could be Veterans Day. I mean, it doesn't make any difference to Patty. It's your first day of school. Sit on the couch and close your eyes. It's your last day of school. Sit on the couch and close your eyes. And they, of course, you know, especially when they're small, that's an excitement. I mean, close your eyes. They put both hands over their eyes. I mean, they don't want to mess this thing up. And she has, over the years, been very good at selecting what her grandchildren would like. Not all grandmothers can do that. Sometimes you open your eyes and you go, oh, Grandma, what in the world is that? But Patty's been pretty good at that. But what happens, it's an interesting thing, that what happens over the years. They're excited about the presents with a T. But as they get older, they start to figure out that while they're at school, while they're with their families, while they're doing their thing, whatever it is, there's somebody that's thinking about them and praying for them. Their grandmother. And eventually, to our joy, the presence with a T became less important than the presence with a C, because Grandma loves them. Now, she still gives presents, even the ones in college. They don't have to close their eyes on the couch anymore, but they still enjoy that. She enjoys giving to them. But what can happen to us and me in my walk with the Lord is that we get caught up enjoying the presence with the T of the Lord. But do we delight in His presence with us daily? Do we experience that? Is there a delight? Is there a joy in knowing that Jesus is walking with you 24/7? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And here's where I found myself. These are the letters written to the churches. John has been giving this vision, and God is instructing him to write to the churches. In Revelation chapter 2, he's writing, at the beginning of that chapter, he's writing to the Ephesian church. And in verse 2, he says this: I know your deeds, and I know your toil, and your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they're not. And you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. Now, what he's describing to us is a church that has their doctrine straight. They know the scriptures. They know the truth that's being written, even being written in the time that they live, and being taught to them by the apostles. They know those things. They know them so well that they can defend the faith against false teachers. And they persevere under hardship. So they are an active, doing church. They are involved in Christianity. They are living out their Christianity. And they're developing around them a Christian culture in which their children are being raised in. But in verse 4 he says, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. That you have left your first love. You can have your doctrine straight. You can be memorizing scripture. You can be studying. You can be even sharing your faith. You can be preaching. But you can let slip away the joy in the presence of God, the delight in Him daily. And so about a year and a half ago, with this little conversation with myself and the Lord, I said, something's got to change here. I don't want to live out my, you know, you get to be 75 and that's when I was doing this last year. And those ideas that creep into you from your culture that, well, it's time for you to relax. It's time for you to kind of hang it up and do whatever. Well, I don't even know what that whatever would be, but whatever it is, you just kind of say, well, I don't know about ministering to people and all that sort of thing. And those thoughts creep into your mind. And it was flat. So I said, well, what am I going to, you know, how do I get out of this? I'm not consistent in my devotions. I'm not consistent in my prayer life. I'm thankful to God. I'm praising Him and I'm thanking Him for the things that He does for me and for my family, and praying for my family and praying for other people. But as far as a daily presence, not so much. Well, as I was digging around, what I decided to do a year and a half ago was, well, if you're not good in your devotions on a consistent basis, then maybe you better memorize scripture. Maybe you just ought to get with it. And your mind's getting dull, that'll help it. And so get to memorizing. So I took the task of trying to memorize Colossians, the book. Don't ask me to quote it, because I don't have it all yet. And it's difficult for me to memorize, but I'm memorizing. Well, one of the things that happened as I was memorizing Colossians, you get about to the 14th chapter, I mean the 14th verse in the first chapter, and it says, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness, and He transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Well, when you're memorizing, like me, if you're like me, you young people don't have quite the problem, I don't think, but I've repeated and repeated and repeated. I write it down and repeat it some more. I write it down and repeat it some more. Go to bed at night, lay there trying to say it. But you do that enough, and pretty quick, it's not words so much as it is, He has rescued me from the domain of darkness, and He's transferred me into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom I have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And you begin to delight in what God has done for you. So that was the first step. The second step was, turn back with me to Psalm 16 again. I want to show you something. And I'm going to give you a challenge here in just a little bit. This is going to be a day when I'm going to try and make you as uncomfortable as I can. Not really. Where does that joy and that delight come from? How does a person that's trying to follow the Lord have that joy and that delight and say the pleasures of being in a close walk with God? See, it doesn't sound like duty or anything like that. It's very different than that. So what does he say? Look at verse 8. And this was an awakening for me. I had already got into an experiment that I'm going to share with you before I came here. But then when I came here to this, I said, yes, this is it. Look what David does. in verse 8. I have set the Lord continually before me. I have set the Lord continually before me. He has made a conscious effort to continually have in his mind the presence of God. Now, we know when it comes to the New Testament, when we've put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes into our life. So the reality is that Jesus is living in us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've preached that, and I've studied it, and I've shared it. But there's one thing that I found out about myself, and maybe you might have this same issue. I have a truth vault. It's a place where I can take biblical truth, study it, maybe memorize it, know it inside and out, and put it up in my truth vault. I know it. You say to me, do you know that you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit? Yes. Oh, yeah, I know that. I'm indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Are you enjoying that walk with him this morning at 11 o'clock, at noon, 2 in the afternoon, this evening, when you go to work, when you're talking with your wife? Are you enjoying that relationship? Well, when the doctor said I had the big C, I said, Jesus, you need to be right here with me. I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm going to have some things done to me. I certainly want to. Lord, I need your presence. I need a sense that you're right with me today. And then we go through some procedures, and they say, you know, you're cancer-free. And I say, well, put Jesus back in the truth vault. Now, maybe that's a little oversimplification, but what I'm saying here is there's somehow we have to realize that Jesus is with us 24/7. And in this world that we live, it's very easy to miss that. Now, I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 4 and give you a little bit of an idea of where we're going to go in Ephesians. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4 and you open your bulletin, you will see a big sign there that says, therefore. And then there's arrows about where we're going. I call this the other side of therefore. And I found myself in my Christian walk walking on the chapter 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians, therefore, instead of the 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians, therefore. And I'm here to tell you, I'll show you this way. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you. This is Paul writing to the Ephesians. He could be writing to us. I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. We just took communion. Steve just explained to us and reminded us again of Jesus going to the cross. The songs did the same thing. We have Jesus written on our forehead. That's what we've been called to be Christians. And then Paul says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, I start feeling guilty. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Jesus, representing Jesus on the face of this earth, 24/7, being an ambassador for Christ, being a witness to his death, burial, and resurrection, that's what I've been called to. Walk in a manner worthy of that. And immediately I get to thinking, ooh. Well, it gets worse. Look at verse 2. With all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. How are you doing with your humility, your gentleness, your patience, your tolerance? Yeah, I read those things. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, 17, it says, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind with a darkened understanding, excluded from life as Israel, because of the hardness of their heart. Verse 19, that they become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality or practice every impurity and greediness. And I go, well, little immorality, a little greediness, a little impurity. I'm trying to figure these things out. He says, then he gets over in 22 and he says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is corrupted with accordance of lust and deceit. And then in verse 25, he says, laying aside falsehood, speak the truth with one another. And then in 26, he says, be angry, but don't sin when you're angry. Oh, it gets worse. I'm looking at this. You're reading this stuff and you say, who's writing this stuff? Does he really mean this? Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Give grace to those who hear. 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. And then you know what's coming up in the next chapter, don't you? Sure you do. It's that area that all us men love to hear. Wives, be subject to your husbands and everything. And you go, ooh, how am I doing there? And then just about the time you think that's pretty bad, he says to the men, he said, love your wives like Christ loved the church. And you go, this sounds like work. You go to the seminar to be a better husband. 14 ways to love your wife. It lasts about 3 days. Maybe a little longer for some of you. Because we're doing those things out of duty so much of the time. We're doing those things out of responsibility. And we've been raised that way. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to work hard. You're supposed to be diligent. When somebody gives you a job to do, you're supposed to do it. And you're supposed to put all your energy into it. And so, we can slip over in Christianity over to that same mode and think, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to sin when I get angry. And that last couple days, no unwholesome word proceeds from my mouth. Well, that's good unless you're a carpenter. So what's the problem? What's the problem, Jerry? You're not living over in chapters 1, 2, and 3. When you start living over in chapters 1, 2, and 3, it changes everything in 4, 5, and 6. It really does. It really does. Now, how do I live over, and this is what we're going to try and do over the next weeks, is try to dig out in Ephesians, what is this living in this truth that Paul was revealing to us that Jesus has done for us? Well, what I decided to do one day, several months ago, was I have to do something that makes me conscious that Jesus is with me 24/7. How many of you have this? If you don't have it, raise your hand. Jared, you got some of these. Jared's got some of these. Who doesn't have one of these? You come in, you don't have one of these. You got to have one of these. And these boys, Jared and Isaac, they're all over this. Got some up here, Isaac. I want you all to have this, and we're going to have it available for you each Sunday for those that didn't get it. And just pass a bunch down that aisle. There's quite a few people. And we have plenty. I wrote this really as a prayer for myself. And I'll explain it to you a little bit. This is my prayer, that I may see him so clearly and understand him so deeply, enjoy him so thoroughly, delight in him so fully, love him so completely that I will obey him so perfectly. You see, chapters 1, 2, and 3 are see him, understand him, enjoy him, delight him, and love him. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 are that I will obey him so perfectly. And when we begin to live in the presence of Jesus Christ day by day, 24/7, that duty in 4, 5, and 6 no longer becomes duty, it becomes worship. It becomes an avenue to worship the Lord. It moves from responsibility to a response to Jesus. And the energy that comes to obey comes from experiencing the presence of God when we understand and live in chapters 1, 2, and 3. So a month and a half or 2 months ago or so, I said, okay, how am I going to do this? David said, I set the Lord continually before me. I was sharing this with Steve Martins. We were talking about this. And he sent me a quote from Hudson Taylor, the great missionary. This is the quote from Hudson Taylor. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they... as we said, reckoned on God being with them. They reckoned on God being with them. Now that seems like a simple, easy truth. But I'm here to tell you I don't think it is. I think this is something that we really have to take serious. I have to take serious. And this is a journey that I'm asking you to join me in me. That we may see him so clearly, understand him so deeply, enjoy him so thoroughly, delight in him so fully, love him so completely, that we will obey him so perfectly. So this is what I did. I said, Jerry, every morning when your feet hit the floor, you're going to ask yourself this question. What are Jesus and I going to do today? What are Jesus and I going to do today? Now, that had some interesting consequences. I'll just give you one little scenario. Suppose at 6 o'clock in the morning at your house, you hear the doorbell ring. Or for those of you who live in the boonies, a knock. You don't have a doorbell. You open the door, and there stands Jesus. And you recognize him. You recognize him as the Lamb of God. You recognize him as the creator of this world. You recognize him as the one who went to the cross for you. And he says to you, good morning, Jerry. I would like to spend the day with you. Be honest with me. If you opened that door and he was standing there and said he wanted to spend the day with you, what are some of your first thoughts? Oh, that's awesome. We're going to have a great time. Or, you weren't here last night when I was talking to my wife, were you? Do you understand how really selfish I am? Because I am really selfish. Do you understand? One of the things that happened in my own life was that I absolutely had those feelings when I pictured that in my life. So then I had to wrestle with the, do I believe the truth of Scripture? That my sins are forgiven. That I am holy and righteous and blameless before Jesus. We'll start next Sunday and look at some of these things. But Ephesians chapter 1, he addresses the letter to the saints at Colossae. To the saints. He calls them saints. We'll look at that next Sunday. One of the things that happens, I believe, when we dedicate ourselves to do this, that we are going to be conscious that Jesus is walking with us 24/7. One of the first things we have to deal with is our unworthiness, and we have to figure out what's the truth the Scriptures say about that, and do we believe it? You've heard it, you've preached it, you've memorized it, but do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Are you going to live that way? That you're a saint? That you are absolutely, there is nothing. We'll talk about it again next Sunday. But let me tell you this. There is absolutely nothing. If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Jesus. And I'm talking about your sin. And your attitude. That has been taken care of at the cross. And we have to get that straight. So, in closing this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, turn that little thing over, you probably have already. And it says, Jesus 24/7, take the challenge and share the response. I'd love to hear how Jesus 24/7 is changing your life. So, we're going to be on a journey here in Ephesians for a number of weeks. And I would love to have as many of you as could possibly do this commit to every morning when your feet hit the floor, you ask yourself, what are Jesus and I going to do today? Now, I said, what are Jesus and I going to do today instead of the Lord? Because I did that on purpose in my own life because I wanted to approach him as a friend. I wanted to recognize him as my friend. Because he says that he has made me his friend. He told the disciples right to him. He said, you're no longer slaves. From now on, I call you my friends. Friend with Jesus. A brother of Christ. And so that's why I addressed it. Jesus, what are we going to do today? Well, I'll share a couple things in closing. I shared this down at Cottonwood a few Sundays back, and I had some response. In fact, the way I did it there was, it was kind of new to me in sharing this then, and I had 6 3x5 cards, and I had this kind of challenge written on it with my phone number, email address, and phone number. And I said, I want 6 of you after the service to walk up here and take this card and tell me that you're gonna do this for a week. And then I want you to respond to me because I want to know what it's doing in your life. It helps me, and it helps me share it. And so I did that. And out of the 6 people that took it, I had 5 responses. Interesting enough, one man was very busy that week, and he said, the dog ate my homework. And... because I was really busy getting ready to go on a missions trip. Where are we? That's what happens to us. We're going on a mission trip. We're going to serve the Lord. I forgot he was with me all week in that sense. A lady said to me, it wasn't earth-shaking. She just said, you know what? Since I took this challenge this week, a few things happened. And one is the Lord asked me to just turn off the TV a little more and start praying for the people in our church. Simple thing. Another fellow got to me on an email, and he said, I couldn't believe how quick I am to sin. That's interesting. When you think of the presence of Jesus in your life 24/7, the knowledge of your sin pops up, which you just confess and get on with life. Here's what a fellow wrote. One fellow wrote a little diary of the days. Let's see if I can get this here for you. Monday, I'm going to pick it Tuesday. He's a construction worker. Wow, once again I'm working alone, starting to wonder if God is really trying to get me alone, because he usually works with other people, with him. Well, I'm more than ready to do so. Today was kind of crazy, not going to lie. All kinds of different thoughts and emotions flooded through me today. Actually had a moment when I broke down and had a wondrous, joyful cry. Now, I don't expect that's going to happen to everybody, but it happened to this young man. I couldn't get over the fact and thought that the King and Creator of the universe would want to just hang out with little old me at work and just listen to me. So humbling, to say the least. Just Jesus and I talking while I'm tiling a shower. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in my life today. Friday. Another good day working with Jesus by my side and with my co-workers. Now their co-workers are showing up. The constant thought of Christ Jesus by my side and in my heart and soul is such a blessed truth. It has really been helping lead my whole day. This different avenue to try and share the gospel with my co-workers, sharing Jesus Christ in such a personal and intimate way, I'm sure, make them think just a little about at the very least. Let's think about it. The Lord. Lord, please open their hearts and minds to you and see you as I see you. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence and your friendship. I close with this. Another gentleman phoned me up and said, do you do marriage counseling? And I said, yes, I do. Could you meet with me this week? And I said, yes, I can. I met with him, and he and his wife have issues. And when we're talking about those issues, I said, you were there when I taught on this, having Jesus with you 24/7. Are you trying that? Can you do that? And he said, I can't do it. Can't even pray that way. I said, why? He said, because I'm so unworthy as a Christian. I don't do my devotions. I don't do this. I don't do that. And so we had a little talk about how sufficient is the blood of Christ at the cross. Does it really pay for all your sins and your unworthiness? And I challenged him to confess to the Lord that he really wasn't believing what the Lord had to say to him. And we had a good time of prayer together. So we're going to get into the book of Ephesians, and we're going to see who we are in Christ and how great a salvation we have. How he just opened the windows of heaven and poured out his grace and his mercy on us. Unmerited, undeserved. All because of a God that loves us and once created us for fellowship with himself. It is absolutely amazing. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time this morning. Thank you for the book of Ephesians. Lord, as we wrestle through these truths that are awesome and great and wonderful over the weeks to come, may you help us along that journey. May you help me along this journey. May I see you more clearly. May I understand you more deeply. May I enjoy you more thoroughly. Lord, I want to delight in your presence. Help me in this journey and help others to come along on that journey and help us to join with folks that are already doing this and enjoying this journey with you, Lord. And we want to hear from them and their testimony as well. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.